The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
We're back, folks, here on the National Intel Report. This Friday, the 16th of September, 2022, we are in Hour 2. Your host here, Richard Carey, and I'm the host of Beyond the Official Narrative on RBN Monday through Friday. That's 12 noon to 1 p.m. Central. Check it out if you can live, if you haven't, or in the archive. But I do try to have a lot of variety with the guests' perspectives, and I do think you'll enjoy if you haven't. But I have Mike Sledge, our guest here, and we were mentioning how on the state level, and we just mentioned the Articles of Confederation, and basically, because you've pointed out so many times, how the Constitution doesn't do anything for us, the people. Mike.
Yeah, the Constitution was kind of a, I don't want to say a scam, but I mean, there's a lot of loopholes in there. The Articles of Confederation was pretty much, from a citizen point of view, a perfect document in many ways. And, I think that is still a great document. And it would be easy to be able to sell to the people if there was a collapse and then we moved and broke up into different regions, which I think, look, you know, people laugh at that. But that's what happened to the Soviet Union. It collapsed and it split up into different, it collapsed. And then you had breakaway provinces, breakaway countries. And the same thing.
I honestly see the federal government in the U.S. as so bloated, all these agencies, all this money. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't really exist. But at the same time, it's like the EU. And we can see how evil the EU is, but we can't see it right here in front of us. You know?
Absolutely. So, but never forget, on the other hand, they've been promoting, Agenda 21 and now the Great Reset, whatever you want to call it. It's really just an extension of Agenda 21, to be honest with you. But they talk about regional government. I mean, so, in many ways, it's going to be tricky because the powers that be want, in some ways, a split of the United States into regional governmental zones. Districts, and they've been promoting this for quite some time, and so because that would be the ultimate way to destroy this country and to weaken us completely, and we would be nothing more than a broken country at that point. But they've been pushing the idea of regional government for years, going back to the 1970s, really, if you look at some of the CFR documents and that kind of thing. So we got to be careful. And we have to keep our eyes open so we don't get fooled with Trojan horses and controlled opposition that might be disguised as like they're on our side, but really helping to bring about a regional government kind of situation, which I think that Richard Spencer was definitely trying to do with his ethno-state garbage, which I think was a definite psyop to promote that. But anyway, I don't want to get into that whole can of worms.
But, you can see how, what we have is not intended to serve us at this point. We don't have to argue, like I say, what the founders had in mind. It's really irrelevant at this point. But at the state level, it would seem like we're more vulnerable to global control. I mean, yeah, and just you don't want to break up just so you wind up in FEMA camp regions, you know?
Yeah, I get the top bunk. I get the top bunk at the FEMA Walmart, man.
Well, here, let's go to the phones here. Let's see, we have James in Vancouver on the line. Hey, James, welcome to the show. Always good to hear from you, sir. What's on your mind?
I was listening to Mike just now go over a bunch of names, especially Sidney Rittenberg, and then the Jonathan Pollard situation. They made money selling these secrets to the Chinese, you see. And then get people saying, oh, China wouldn't do anything wrong. They wouldn't do anything wrong because, well, they're, you know. So the issue of certain issues like Putin, the hardliners are objecting he's not fighting hard enough in the Ukraine. Well, those hardliners probably want his job.
Yeah.
Just like in China, China doesn't attack Taiwan, not only because Taiwan is highly fortified, but if they did attack Taiwan, then there would be a political insecurity in the Communist Party. And that political insecurity might mean that the leader or leaders would have to give up their jobs, you see. This is
absolutely
issue that you have to consider is, and you know, of course, that China and Russia, the media will say, oh, yeah, they're getting closer and closer, but there's always been a problem there.
Yep.
Between China and Russia.
They got bad blood going back a long way. They got bad blood going back a long ways.
You got it. So just one thing I wanted to mention for sure here is, I listened to a radio show last night, about an hour and a half interview with a guy named M.S. King, Real History Channel. I think you know who I'm talking about. And this guy,
I know the Real History Channel, but never heard of M.S. King.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Well, this guy.
Mike King. Mike King, the author of those.
Okay. M.S. King,
books.
Right? Well, this guy is totally QAnon. Last night, about how Donald Trump simply advocated in 2020 so that the deep state would show its face. But yeah, he's down there in Florida, but he knows what's going on. And these raids by the feds are simply to get the people of America to be more on his side. And that, you know, it's this sort of four-dimensional chess game or whatever they call it. And, you know, the cavalry's coming, and don't worry, because, you know, it's all going to be taken care of, you see. This is what I'm getting from this M.S. King guy.
I think the one of the well-known books of his, I believe, is The Planet Rothschild. Mike, you may have heard of that.
Okay. I've heard about that, yeah.
But I have heard, he does seem to push and take seriously the QAnon stuff, not just that he's very pro-Trump. That had been very curious to me. But
well, I can be pro-Trump, but the QAnon thing, I can't go there. That's too ridiculous. And I'm for other issues. So
it's interesting it's interesting, though, because Mike at least does share that attitude. This FBI raid is positive publicity for Trump and making him seem like he really is still an outsider and he's our guy. So Mike's theory here.
That could be true. But I believe that the deep state, or whatever you want to call him, did not want Trump back for a second term for real reasons. I mean... I think they had an agenda, and that agenda was to start a war, you know, as much as they could, and I don't think Trump could do that. And maybe he did advocate. Maybe he said, "I don't want it. You guys take it." You see, but war—if there's a war in Ukraine right now, like what people are saying there is—and there's this disequilibrium, then that's got to be the benchmark. And obviously, Trump didn't want to go there. You know, he said, "Well, here, I'll give it to you. Hand it to you." What's that guy's name? The buffoon in Washington, in the White House now, Biden.
Oh, Biden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
A little bit off the topic, but do you ever find it strange that the Queen died at Balmoral, 500 miles away from London? She didn't die in London. She died in Balmoral, right?
Hmm.
That would mean that the caravan from Balmoral down to London would only be one way, because if she died in London, well, then that would mean they'd have to haul her up to Balmoral and bring her back again, right?
Okay.
See how that works? Anyway, that's just an aside. Never mind that.
So what do you think?
Okay.
I mean, what are you getting at with that? I'm just curious.
She died in London and they hauled her to Balmoral.
Okay.
That's the point.
I got you.
You're not going to announce on the media, "Yeah, the Queen died in London. We're going to haul her up to Balmoral."
Right,
and
right.
Everybody on the sea. That wouldn't look good, would it?
No. Nah. Well, there's a lot of things going on with the royal family. That's a whole nother show right there. We can get into Jimmy Savile and all kind of stuff.
Well, but you were texting me a lot of your opinions on China. I mean, you very much have more affinity, you say, for the U.S., but you're up in Canada and you talk about how it's the same situation, the amount of influence and control China has in Canada.
Well, yeah, because of course they're a source of money. They will lend money. We have 500,000 plus. Chinese people in here. We've got a greater in the Vancouver area. You got 2 million people. 500,000 are Chinese. In 10 years, there's going to be a million, maybe more. So virtually, they've taken over just by their numbers, you see.
Well, I was just mentioning.
I was trying to get at this morning. On the show by saying, look, China doesn't need to get into an all-out war. They take over slowly, little by little, and then they have the whole thing just simply by living the way they live, providing the services they provide. They are able to survive and thrive in the areas that they inhabit, you see.
I agree that they don't have to be mutually exclusive when people single out Jewish power. It doesn't necessarily mean, even though we've done the research to back that up, it doesn't mean that China cannot be, globally speaking, a significant threat.
Yeah, well, the Jews are agents, okay? They tend to act individually as agents, like Mikhail Borodin, when China was going through the revolutions, was sent by Russia. Borodin was, showing them how to kill people better or something like that. And there's other Jewish financiers that have been in China for literally hundreds of years. It goes back 2,000 years to the Silk Road, you see. To say that the Jews have never been in China is ridiculous, right? Well, that's what I hear sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
International trade.
Absolutely. I mentioned Kaifeng. The Kaifeng Jews go back, like you say, almost 2,000 years, you know, in China.
Sure.
And they're connected to banking because they were part of the banking system with the trade from the Silk Road. Absolutely.
That's right. So when you look at the Medici, for example, you look at Cosimo Medici, he looks pretty damn Jewish to me. Although they're supposed to be Catholics, you see. But this is how it goes.
The Silk Road was the original Belt and Road Initiative. I mean, basically, all they're doing is bringing back the Silk Road again. This is like a Silk Road 2.0, you know, it's all it is. And it's very interesting.
Let me give you one more fact. Let me give you one more fact. One man put the put China out of the silk business in 1929, and that was Wallace Carruthers for DuPont, who invented nylon. See? This is how these things go. And later, Wallace Carruthers was mysteriously shot in the head, and they say he did it. I don't know if that's true, but this is how these things work. So politics and technology and scientific information, they go hand in hand, you see. And this is things that have to be looked at when people deal with why did this country do this and why did that country do that, you see. But then they have the mainstream media come in and, you know, sell some kind of a tale like, well, you know, it was this and that. And but it comes down to dollars. It comes down to the facts of the case. Where are we going to get that raw material? Where are we going to get that? And if that one country has that raw material and nobody else does, there'll be a catfight to get that raw material. So, okay.
All right, well, thank you for the call, as always, James.
All righty. You guys take care now.
You too, man.
Yeah, have a great weekend. And
great call.
Yeah, it was indeed. And we have Joe in Florida who's been patiently on hold. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. Hey, what did you want to add today, sir?
Hey, Richard and Mike, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to clarify a little bit your afternoon show where I called in. By the way, I don't think there's anybody else on RBN who can handle the diversity of opinions on the right as well and as diplomatically as you, Richard. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you, sir.
You know, there's differences of opinions. Like, I come at the whole understanding of Putin from a Christian worldview, right, which is a traditional Christian view about the JQ, is that basically they're the enemies of mankind, right? So that's why we had this difference about Putin. You know, I believe Putin really is a Christian person. I don't believe he's a saint. He's not a saint. But in the real world, you know, he's done more of fighting the question of the enemy than any other world leader, truth be told, you know? That's my opinion about that. But I just wanted to elaborate a little bit because I only briefly mentioned it. One thing I wanted to say, though, was I really think that I don't want to blackpill anybody, but I think that we are much in a worse position, much, much worse than people in America realize it. Because this war, it has been now turned into a real proxy war. So it's a war between Russia and NATO and the West. Maybe it started out as a Ukraine-Russia conflict, but now we see that the Jews who are running this war, the Newlands and the Anthony Blinkens and the Kolomoyskys in Ukraine, they literally are willing to throw everything and everyone under the bus just to destroy Russia or to try and get control of Russia. And I don't think people in America have really understood that yet.
I agree. I agree 100% with the caller. For instance, in Kharkov, the Jew Zelensky and his forces just executed all the Russians in the Kharkov region, killed them on site, went house to house. This is the way they do warfare. And I said it earlier today on Beyond the Official Narrative, and I'll say it again on this show. International Jewry hates Russia the same way that they hated Germany, and they would love nothing else, nothing more, to do a repeat of the Bolshevik Revolution and get their claws completely back into that country and bring it down. Because you see, going back to the clergy plan, going back to their domination globally, they cannot allow a single European power to rise up to potentially be a challenge to their power globally. And, you know, look, the big thing that scared international finance, international Jewry about the situation was the fact that Russia and Germany were making economic deals for the first time since World War II.
Right. We'll be right back. Tackling.
Yeah. Yep.
There, if you want to stay on, yeah, we'll hold you through the break. Stick around, folks. Sure. We'll be right back. Great. Must come down.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries
eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. Stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one.
We are back, folks. Beyond Force of Habit. National Intel Report here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my guest Mike Sledge, and we're on the line with Joe in Florida. And Joe, I don't know if you wanted to elaborate a bit more, or do you want to hear from our guest, from Mike.
Well, I agree with what Mike was just saying. That's mm-hmm. definitely true. The other thing that I noticed was, I think that this war is already a nuclear war. And the reason I say that is because we have the psychopath Zionist killer, Zelensky, who has been bombing the Zaporizhia nuclear plant. Well, I don't know. I'm not a nuclear scientist, but let me see if I can get this straight. If you're bombing a nuclear energy plant, isn't that like making it go nuclear? Because basically, if you hit and destroy and start a radiation disaster, which could cover most of the globe, well, that sounds like a nuclear contest has already started, but it certainly wasn't started by the Russians. You know, the ridiculous media we have in the West is trying to pretend that somehow, oh, well, Russia is causing this problem at the nuclear plant. Well, Russia would not bomb a nuclear plant that it's in control of. And somehow in the media, they always leave out that it's the psychopath Zelensky and his Jewish thugs that are bombing the nuclear plant.
Right. Of course. Mike?
Yeah, these are psychopathic killers. They will do anything to bring about their global order. We are not considered human beings, according to their Talmudic mindset. We are nothing but brute beasts that deserve to be summarily destroyed and executed and exterminated.
Right.
They look on us as subhuman, and they will do anything. And don't forget the Samson option, you know, which is always on the table in their minds. I don't know if it's going to go full bore to that level you're talking about, Joe, but I mean, there's a very positive. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past these people. They're capable of anything. Right. They're sociopathic. They're psychopathic killers.
Exactly. And Mike, I wanted to see whether you, what's your opinion about this idea, which is, I think the Jews that are running this, you know, the Newlands and the Blinkens, et cetera, they have already made the switch to the multipolar world. Okay, mm-hmm. They're playing the game that, oh, U.S. and NATO are all aligned together, still unipolar world, and it's U.S. and NATO all aligned against big bad Putin. But I think they have already shown that they're happy to have Germany commit suicide, for instance, by these sanctions and cut them off because they're basically protected. The United States is not going to be having millions of freezing residents this winter, but certainly Germany is, certainly France is. Certainly, Italy is going to have that happen to them. And that's, to me, like, they've already, these Jews that are running this whole conflict have already made that calculation that, well, okay, let's start playing the multipolar world, which is like we're going to split the U.S. from NATO and not tell anybody about it. What do you think about that idea?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're right on point. I think that they've already think that they've got it wrapped up. They have a couple loose ends to take care of. I think Russia being one of them, but I think they've already moved on, and they're, you know, and I agree with what you said earlier in your call, by the way, we are in a lot worse shape than most Americans think, understand, and they don't have any clue what's fixing to hit them. I think, I don't like to make alarmist predictions, but I do believe that the next 6 months to the next year are going to be absolutely amazing. And, I think they're going to blow a lot of people's minds. I think that, you know, even 6 months from now, looking back on this broadcast here, I think you're going to be living in a totally different paradigm. I think they're moving that fast and that quick, and I don't see any stopping it in the short run.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's the reason why I really think we want to start praying more. Well, thanks, Richard. Thanks, Mike. It was a great show tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great call. Thanks, man.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you for the call, Joe. And yes, I can certainly see how we can't assume that anyone's going to have our back, and that certainly does include Putin.
Yep.
As far as the superpowers, you know, quote unquote superpowers, I do tend to lean your direction. China is a bit of a wild card at this point for the reasons that you mentioned. But yeah, well, we have a couple other callers. I don't really want to jump to them because we're right at the break. I should just remind everyone to support the station. You know, I mean, we do have some sponsors. You know, we run some ads, but I mean, by and large, your support, including those monthly donations, which really help out. You know, anyone who hasn't considered, and you know, with times being tight now, you know, we could really use your help to keep all this going. You know, I mean, there's only so much that the board ops can do over there. If we don't have funding to keep it all possible. But yeah, no, we have a couple other callers we're going to get to. 512-248-8252. And we'll be right back, folks. National Intel Report. Guest Mike Sledge. Host Richard Carey.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
President Biden tried to emulate JFK. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. While at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library on Monday, the 60th anniversary of President Kennedy's moonshot speech, Biden said Americans would end cancer as we know it. Biden specifically set the goal of cutting cancer deaths in half within 25 years. Has Biden forgot that video cameras exist, or does he think that people are just too stupid to ever remember anything? Richard Nixon declared war on cancer in 1971, the year before Biden was elected to the Senate. Biden himself claimed that he would end cancer as we know it when he first ran for president in 1987. The media is running with Biden's cancer moonshot speech like it's a brave new promise. President Biden, JFK, you are not. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivus Pashem, Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back, folks, here on the National Intel Report. Richard Carey here with my guest, Mike Sledge. And next we have Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Hey, well, it's been a while since we've chatted. Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, first I'd like to correct something about the Jews supposedly being the ones who controlled the Silk Route, the caravans. They were actually the predatory, the parasites, who would extort the caravans for protection money. They wouldn't, when they had the Khazaria, the so-called kingdom of Khazaria, that is how that kingdom got so rich, because they would extort money from some of the caravans, and sometimes they would also rob them. That is where the symbol of the camel going through the eye of a needle originates. Because at night, the camels would actually have to get down and crawl into the overnight protection, because that is when they were most at risk of being robbed. So the role of the Jews with regard to the caravans was predatory and parasitic. The primary successful people with regard to the caravans were the Nabataeans. And that is why Rome was so eager to incorporate Nabatea, which, as you know, are the people who built Petra. That was their Fort Knox, because it was built right into the rock cliff, so you could not break into their stronghold. And then other tribes within Yemen and Oman were also part of the successful caravanserers. So let's understand what the role of those Ashkenazi European, North European Jews actually were. Many of them were also from northern, present-day northern Iraq, what was then known as Assyria. But they were not the the Assyrian Christians of today. It was the Assyrian Jews. But I also wanted to talk about the role of Trump. I long believed, I mean, while he was running during the campaign, I was sitting on the edge of my seat hoping he would get elected. Once he was in, I realized he was controlled opposition. He is owned and operated by the Zionists. And I think that show of invading his home at Mar-a-Lago was, again, as you said, just to gain more public sympathy and to make it appear as though he's the man of the people. He is not. And as you pointed out, he pardoned Pollard and completely ignored the people that he sent into the ambush that he was well aware of and he avoided. Because while they were walking into the ambush that he told them to go into at D.C., he was off at his comfortable little recluse in Mar-a-Lago. So no, Trump is not naive. He is not a man who was fooled. He's always been part of that game, and he's not very bright, but he knows how to get money, and he knows who to cooperate with to get money. I do not think he is the savior everyone thinks he is. Now, Micah, you made a comment about one of the problems is that there's no internet national method of communication for resistance. As we all know, the founding fathers wanted a strong central government because they didn't want the states competing with each other and making alliances or treaties with foreign countries. So right. The question is, now that the central government is so strong, and of course the one who plans the ambush for centuries always has the advantage because they have everything put in place so that by the time their victim realizes that they're already caught in the spider's web. The question then is, how do people now fight back? What do you think, Mike? Is guerrilla warfare, underground guerrilla warfare, the only way? Because if everybody is in one place, it's easy to zap them. But when they're divided, okay, like guerrillas hidden in different locales, is that a possible, feasible option in the topography of today's world?
Let me tell you what I think is feasible, and that is, and this is why many people call me an accelerationist, okay? I think that a collapse must, the sooner a collapse happens here, the better. This system has to come crumbling down. I think it's potentially on the verge of that. And I think the real strategy is not now. The real strategy will be post-collapse. And at that point, I think, like I said, we need to go ahead and start pushing the local state legislatures to put secession on the table. In a lot of southern states, that's already happened. Texas, legally, for instance, can pull out whenever it feels like. They already have that written into their state charter constitution. Texas, Lone Star State, can do that whenever they want. Other states have put it on the table in the South, okay? I think Alabama has. I think Georgia has. I think South Carolina has. But right now in this current climate, unfortunately, I think that most of the American population is so brainwashed to the point where they really don't understand what's happening, and they really don't see the imminent threat that is now occurring against them and arrayed against them. And I think the only thing that will wake them up, and I might be wrong on this, they might be just as brain dead when the collapse happens, but I think that that is the only hope, and I think that real action will not occur until this system begins to crumble. And it's already starting to crumble. So I'm not one of these people that want to prop it up. I'm one of these people that want to see it go. The quicker, the better.
I agree with you. I think it's already overdue. The idea when people talk about Take Back America, I'm sorry, that theme song is a beautiful illusion, but Cinderella is a pretty story too. I'm sorry, forgive me for saying this, but in my opinion, there is no America, there is no Canada. We're living on illusion and the vapors of that illusion. So the time to act was probably years ago, but it's already too late because they've infiltrated us to such an extent that men have been grossly weakened. Women, as a woman, I can say that I find most women that I have known are very untrustworthy. I'm sorry to say that. Nobody wants to hear that today, but I think the men have been intimidated too much. And who is going to lead the resistance when the time comes? I don't know. Will the new generation be restored with enough testosterone to fight back? I don't know. I'm not hopeful. And as for the so-called royal family, the most corrupt institution on earth, along with Zionism, that's part of our problem. That was their home base until they stole the Levant, call it Palestine, call it the former Holy Land. Yeah. But there's another part. There's another fairy tale. People who say, "Let's pray," as though God is going to come down and be our savior. I mean, wake up, folks! If Jesus did not save a small tribe of Judah from the Romans, who's going to save us now from a global? The head of the octopus is in Israel, but its tentacles is all around the world. How do you identify and defeat them? They've got the upper hand because they started centuries ago.
And when you mentioned that, Layla, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, and you know that it started centuries ago. You can look at how many things in the Old Testament, never mind the Torah, which are very supremacist. And Michael Rivero even talks about how his first wife, who was Jewish, it took a long time for her to convince him. But yeah, even non-Orthodox, even relatively secular Jews were brought up to be passed down the knowledge that the Ten Commandments applied to other Jews. You know, so I mean, these people who talk about Zionism and Khazars/Ashkenazi as the only issue, they didn't do much research, I'd have to say. And I mean, yeah, why for all these hundreds and hundreds of years have they, these people been kicked out of so many countries prior to the existence of Zionism, Layla?
Well, yes, but actually the people of Judah were not really the Jews. They were actually Arameans. They were not Jews. The word Jewish did not even exist until they came into Europe. And they came primarily out of what is modern-day Iraq and Persia, and from the some of the tribesmen from the mountains in the Caucasus. They were not from Judah. That book the Old Testament has been rewritten and redacted and edited a number of times both in two centers. But remember, who controls the publishing? If it were God's word, he doesn't need it on paper with ink to run through some kind of printing press. God's word, God can get his word out if he wants it out. He doesn't need a published book that it can be edited by whoever controls the publishing houses and the editing and the distortion of language.
I really hate to cut it short, but we have a couple other callers to get to. I don't know, Mike, did you have any response, any feedback to...
Agree with you on that last point. I think that was a great call.
Thank you.
They didn't run it, they extorted it. Even better.
Thank you so much, Layla, as always.
Thanks for the call, Layla.
All right, and, bye-bye.
Next, we have Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr. Thank you for holding so long. I'm sorry for the long wait online. I haven't heard from you in a while. I don't know if you still catch my show sometimes, but good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike, for having Michael Gaddy and Stephen Whitener and you having him on your show, because
absolutely,
we have to fight censorship. And as far as founding fathers, that's an illusion, as you may well know, knowing Michael Gaddy. He's doing deep research. They weren't founding fathers. What did they found? They were finders keepers. They were men just like today. And everything comes from the spiritual. They kept Christian principles out of this country. Rhode Island, where most of the slaves were run, and by Aaron Lopez, a Jew in particular, voted against the other 12 having Christian principles in their documents, both the Confederacy, the Articles of the Confederacy, and the Constitution. And the last word to come down was from Jonas Phillips in the synagogue in Philadelphia. And so you've heard Mike talk about all this, yeah? Okay, and so let's do another Mike here now. Mike King. Okay, it was never QAnon. It was Q. There were many Anons. There were 7 military and 3 non-military, and they have to be using some sort of AI. But they exposed this satanic child sacrificing that is going on, and that is the primary thing that is so evil about this whole system. And he, Mike King exposes some of that, but also on, I noticed on the front page there of RBN, they have a thing by Bill Maurer, as if he's a neat, cute guy. He's one of them. He's one of the Satanists in the red shoes that deals with children in ways that shouldn't be, okay? You know, I mean, and he ends it with Jesus effing Christ, okay? So we're told we don't have discernment and Christian discernment and everything on this station. And then we have James in Vancouver, who didn't like about Mike, but maybe he should look at Auschwitz Baby Boom and some of those other articles, as well as the books, like The Bad War. Okay, you might find some truth there about Germany, which James isn't particularly fond of. And he calls himself, in different times, a Jew, a Catholic, and a Mark Master Mason. When Michael Herzog called him on this and said, oh, well, you're a Christian then? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, you said you're Catholic. Oh, yeah. So it's all excuses. Why are we so afraid of anything about Christ? Everything is spiritual in nature from the beginning, and that affects the physical and the mental. We're subconsciously driven by this media, this Talmudia, and that is the Jews' sacred book, is the Talmud, Babylonian Talmud. And you can read in there how Christ is boiling in excrement for eternity and all the other things, how it's fine to rape a 3-year-old and all the other goodies in there. So we don't need to be run by these people. So you avoid their media. Look what they've done. They've, you know, Stormfront 2 years ago, I was telling everyone, don't watch the media. They convinced everybody that Bill Gates, also a Jew, was a doctor. And he had viral, you know, computer problems, viruses, right? So people right away, oh, yes, a virus can be everywhere and everybody. And so the world is taken down on Friday the 13th of March in 2020, 1 week, and the world is under control of the Jews entirely. But we don't need this. Part of doing and accelerating, and I would like to add not just ACC, but EXL, okay? UXL, all right?
Yeah.
I agree 100% when you speak of the Jewish hand and even the COVID PSYOP. When you speak of the Talmud and how far-reaching their influence is, I mean, its influence is into all Jews' way of just being brought up and thinking. It's not to mention the genetic component, which we really didn't touch on. But I don't know, Mike, would you like to respond? I mean, you mentioned why do some people have an apprehension toward accepting Christianity or Christ or something to that effect, Murr. Mike, do you want to comment at all on that? In the context white people and
always on point. I agree, it's
also tough to talk about without dividing people, Murr, you know, to talk about religion at all. But I mean, if you wanted some kind of comment,
not religion. Yeah. It's spiritual.
Yeah, he's talking about spirituality, which is different from religion.
Well, that can be unique to everyone then. Yeah.
Right.
You're not talking about
Christianity does uphold morals. Jews bring them down. We have children being carved up in their genitalia. How satanic and evil is that?
Well, I should let my guest respond to you and not just me. Mike, please.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, I went to Catholic school. I went to, I was christened in the Russian Orthodox Church. You know, I really, having studied the Bible in detail, I have a lot of problems with it. But nonetheless, it is true that the enemy, international Jewry, they literally hate it. They hate Christians, but also they've taken over Christianity through the 501c3, the Catholic Church, through Vatican II. They rewrote, they created Christian Zionism through the Scofield and the Darby movement, you know, and that was connected.
And that was Samuel Untermyer.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I have a lot of problems with it because, frankly, I think, you know, I live in the South. I live in the Bible Belt. I used to say I got a welt from the Bible Belt because most closed-minded people I talk to are these 501c3 Christians that go to these evangelical churches, and it's like talking to a brick wall. I've had more success in waking up people on the left than I have on the right down here, and that's unfortunate. It really
is. No one went to church for 4,000 years.
Yeah.
It's between you and him in spirit. You don't need a church. Yeah. Okay?
Well put. So, well put.
And I also wanted to say there are Chinese that say that the Chinese are the Jews of Asia.
I did a whole 4-hour show on the Kaifeng Jews. And by the way, you know, if you look at the Jewish people, they are from the East originally. And this is very controversial. Okay.
Yeah.
Even
Asiatic,
in high,
DNA
yes,
component.
Asiatic, absolutely. Yes. And this is why there's a natural connection between Jews and the Chinese. It's been there for thousands of years, going back to the Kaifeng Jews that were part of the banking system in China 2,000 years ago. But not only that, one of the first synagogues in New York City. You know where it was built? Chinatown. That's right.
Okay. Well, we have a couple other callers. Yeah. I don't know. Any last comment, Murrah? We really should move on.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you another time about it. But there's so much more. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, please call my show as well. Yes. Okay. Next, we have Jimmy in New York. Hello, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Yeah. Hey. I just want to preface my remarks real quick. I've been sick with a pretty bad sinus infection, so I hope I don't have a coughing fit. So I'm going to try to make this quick. It's nice to hear Mike on the air here, to hear someone from back in the good old days of Oracle Broadcasting. I was also a part of that network back in the day. I did a show on the network for a few years called Radio X, and it was certainly fun while it lasted. Well, I'm sorry.
It's good to hear from you, man. Good to hear from you.
Thanks. It's good to hear from you. And it was fun while it lasted. What I find interesting with the discussions, I mean, because I'm still running a small radio station here and still playing RBN and still playing some alternative networks 24/7. And it's funny. I sit here and listen to what the topics are. And I recall back, I mean, I was on the air there from what, 2009 to 2011 or 12, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I more or less focused on social issues, knowing that Obama was, because Obama had just become president back at that time. And I was pointing out, I was trying to point out how we are allowing a group of tiny hat-wearing people to weaponize blacks and browns against white people in this country. If we didn't do something about it, it was going to become unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to other people talk about, we're saying the same things we were saying, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And I just hope that people are starting to finally wake up, because I'll tell you, I'm just tired of repeating myself. I really am.
Oh, God.
I'm hoping. Are you guys seeing any, I hear that there are more and more people, you know, that are waking up to things, but I don't know. Is that what's going on, or am I just too skeptical after all these years?
Mike?
Yeah, I think there are a bigger number of people that are awake today to the general issue of what's going on. But unfortunately, you know, the one good thing about Donald Trump in 2016 was he brought the normie into kind of our sphere, Jimmy, like the stuff we used to talk about a decade ago, you know? And
sure.
That was the one good thing about it. And they're here now, but they're very young in this information. They haven't figured out controlled opposition yet. They haven't figured out, you know, the details, who really runs things, this kind of thing. And that's going to be a detriment to them. But I think there are more numbers of people that generally, in a general sense, know that there's some kind of new world order taking place, that there's global government. Our system is totally corrupt. I think that that is more numbers than we had a decade ago. But I think the fine points are so important. And if they don't connect the dots right, then they're going to lose out in the end because they're not going to know who they're fighting. And if you don't know who your enemy is, you can't win a war, you know?
Yeah, and see, that's where I kind of am at a crossroads, yeah. Is that I don't think people really know who that is. You know, Trump, for all of his faults, you're right. I mean, he at least opened, I think, Normie's eyes to the horrendous state of the media in this country. And but we never really found out who it was that's running the media, you know, and that is obviously going to continue to be hidden. You know, people on social media who decide they want to point that out publicly, if you're bold enough, are going to be taken down, you know. So I sure hope we're moving in the right direction. I really do. But you guys, you do a great job. And Mike, it's nice to hear from you after all these years, and keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
Jimmy, man, I'd like to hear from you some more, man. It's great to hear from you. Jimmy X, everybody, one of the best shows that was on Oracle back in the day. Hey, man, it's great to hear your voice, man. It really is.
Yeah, Jimmy, you could find my email on Republic Broadcasting. I'll forward it to Mike if you email me, please.
So. I will do that. I will do that probably over the weekend sometime, okay?
Sounds great.
That'd be great, Jimmy. Great to hear from you, man.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. John in Oklahoma. We only have about a minute or two left. What's on your mind, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. Let me throw a little wild card into this deck that we're shuffling. Has anyone thought about the tribes that there were never a conquer agreement? There were peace agreements signed. That's what this government's forgetting about. Oklahoma is going to be one of those states that, because of the way it's divided up into tribal territory or reservations, can pretty much do what Texas does.
Yeah, great point. Great point. And I think all that's going to come into play here pretty soon. And I think you make a great point. And I think that is actually the answer. Each state, particularly in the South and the Midwest, has these options. Yeah.
I actually live on a Choctaw Indian reservation.
Okay.
And, I mean, we're as big as some of the states on the East Coast. And a lot of the younger men have seen what's happening. They still have family interaction, and they have sworn off a lot of the foods and the GMOs, and they're going back to traditional everything. And so, I mean, the lady that just called talking about testosterone, that's not a problem around here. I work at a mill. I'm an electrician at a mill.
That's
testosterone
awesome.
Is not a problem in this area. I think you're going to find you're going to have native leaders, and instead of being the code talkers, they're going to be the order givers. And I'm not just talking about my tribe. I'm talking about multiple tribes. Because
we all
interact.
Right, sir. Well, thank you for your call. We're out of time. Mike, you have a brief response?
Hey, great call. Great callers. Great show. Thank you so much, Richard, for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And, yeah, if anyone wants to email me, I can forward it to Mike. You know, you can find my email. You look up the hosts from the schedule page. And, folks, please support the station. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. And we will speak again soon. Cheers.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusanAnnSecret.com. SusanAnnSecret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.